From the Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Welcome. The 6-4 Minnesota Vikings are back off the bye and at Soldier Field to take on the Chicago Bears this weekend. And this is Vikings Live from Winter Park. Our interview with head coach Leslie Frazier weekly is provided by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of the Sports Authority Studios here at Winter Park, where we conduct Vikings Live from Winter Park. Welcome back, sir. Good to see you. Are you nice and relaxed?
Very much so. That time off was beneficial, and I think it was beneficial for our team as well.
Get a chance to do anything?
Had a chance to go down and watch my son's teams play down in Houston, Texas at Rice University against SMU, and they came away with a big win, so it was fun to watch.
He's a cornerback, isn't he? A
defensive safety.
Okay. Does he play frequently?
He does. He's injured this year. He ends up with a medical red shirt, and he'll come back next year for his senior year.
Okay, so after his senior year, do you encourage General Manager Rick Spielman to draft him, preferably in the third round? It's a bad economy. It's a lot of money coming in, Leslie.
Well, his mom might push for that, but I don't know if I can personally push for it.
Well, that's really going to strain the relationship. You and Rick have had such a great relationship since he got elevated. And
right.
Look at this draft. This draft is turning out to be one of the better drafts in the history of Vikings football. This could strain the relationship because it's blood before professional prowess, you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Anything new with Percy Harvin?
You know, he's working hard to try to get on the field. He hasn't been able to practice as we speak, but we're crossing our fingers and hoping that we'll get him for the game on Sunday.
Does he have to practice to play this weekend?
I think with the time that he's missed ball, we need to see him do some things, move around a little bit. I think it would be a little risky to put him out there at this point without practicing.
When you went up and down the field against the Lions and passed the ball quite well, in fact, as good as you've passed it in at least a month, and it was without Percy Harvin, what did that show the rest of the team?
I think it gave the guys confidence in some of their teammates that they would be able to step up and make plays for us in the passing game, in particular Jarius Wright, and for Christian also to be able to spread the ball around, get it in a different player's hands, and watch those guys do their work. So it was good for our entire team.
When you come into that game, and Ponder's coming off that Seattle game where he had 60-some-odd yards a couple of weeks before that, he also had a low number, and obviously we're not privy to the game plan, but you guys work on it all week, and Christian knows it's going to be okay. Five receivers, shotgun, empty backfield. They're putting a lot in front of me. Does that energize the entire offense when you change something up so dramatically like that?
I think it does. You know, we talked all week long leading up to the Detroit game that we wanted to change things up. We didn't want to just be Adrian left, Adrian right, although we knew we'd get back to that. But we wanted to start the game off a little bit differently. And the way we opened up the game, I'm sure it surprised Detroit, and it really worked out well for us.
Might be a stupid question, Leslie, but is it case-specific with game plans like that? I mean, it worked, okay, and it looked good, and I don't care if it's Devin Aroma-Shadu or if it's A.J. Green. Whatever you did, it worked. Do you have to match up per what defense you think you're going to get all the time, or can you just say, here's what we do, here's what we've done, and we're going to go out and do it well?
In general, that's the way we've kind of approached it, Paul, where we say, okay, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. Now stop it. And we had gotten to a point where people were stopping us in the passing game, and we realized as a staff that we needed to make some adjustments to be able to help our young quarterback and our receivers, and we made some adjustments, and I think we'll have to continue to do that going forward.
You know how pitchers, goalies, and or basketball teams can get in zones, Leslie, where they're just basically unstoppable, say it's Larry Bird scoring 60 points or whatever. Can football teams get like that where you're just calling good play after good play after good play, and then you just really get in a rhythm?
No question, and that happens a lot on offense where everything just seems to be clicking. And when that happens, it's a great feeling as a coordinator, as a player. It just looks like every play you call, it just becomes a plus play. And we had some of that early in the season.
Say Percy Harvin plays this weekend. Say Jarius Wright is in uniform. Can they be on the field at the same time?
Yeah, we have some packages where we can get both of them on the field, and we want to utilize their talents. I mean, Jarius has shown that he's more than ready to step in and help our football team.
When you look at slot receivers, and that's where people pigeonhole Percy Harvin, and that's where he's been at his best. He was Rookie of the Year in 2009, obviously. Why is it guys like that don't succeed outside the numbers as well as they do in the middle of the field?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and I mean, there are guys who are very good outside who are not as good inside as inside receivers. So in Percy's case, his athleticism, his ability to run after the catch, it really shows up when he's in the slot more so than it does on the outside. Although, he's shown the ability to make plays for us outside as well.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. Did spreading things out versus Detroit force Christian Ponder to make quicker decisions?
I think it did in some ways, for sure. It kind of declared the coverages for him. He was able to identify right away whether or not it was going to be single high or two high safeties, and that kind of helped him to get the ball out of his hands.
So if you see a single high safety situation like we saw frequently Monday night with the Bears against the 49ers, specifically early in that game, even by watching the TV copy, you could see it. Mm. And if they started with two, one would run in after the play, and it ended up being single high. Is that a defense's way of saying to you, we dare you to throw the ball, and we don't think you can do it?
No question. And we see a lot of that from teams. I mean, a lot of single high, and that's the reason. They're saying, you know what, your run game is so good, we're going to stop the run game, and we don't believe you can successfully complete passes.
Are you sensing the guys are extremely excited for this game? Because I am.
Oh, no doubt. Our guys are really pumped up. It's a great opportunity for us to go on the road against a very good team, an NFC North rival, with so much at stake. It's exciting for all of us.
Off week, bye week, Leslie. What of note did you discover during the self-scouting time of the off week?
Well, we saw some areas where we really need to improve in order for us to reach our goals as a team. We talked about our red zone offense and defense. We talked about what we're doing on third down on offense and defense, and some other areas as well that we need to improve on. And we tried to go back and work on some of that on Monday, and hopefully it'll begin to show up this Sunday.
So in hindsight, best case scenario, it's probably best to have your bye in the middle of a season as opposed to super early like weeks 4, 5, or 6 or 10 or 11.
Yeah, I'd prefer, you know, middle of the season or later like we had this year, because you have a chance to really go back and look at a greater body of work. If it's at week 4 or 5, you're not that far removed from training camp, so you don't quite have the same body of work. So it worked out good for us.
What have you noticed so far about Christian Ponder's huddle presence? How is he when he gets in there and it's a close game and it's late and it's loud? Mm-hmm. Does he have that innate ability to calm things down and personify a leader?
I think he's really grown in that area. We saw it this offseason, the development with Christian in that area. His leadership has begun to show, where guys have a lot more confidence in what he's doing. And that Detroit game will help a lot with that. He did a lot of things in that game that you need your quarterback to do when you're leading the football team.
And what made you so proud, I mean, according to your comments in the press conferences after the game, is he was facing some scrutiny from that game. I mean, he had a bad game in Seattle, and he was getting it from the media and from fans. And he kept his mouth quiet. He faced it, responded, and responded well. And that, you know, that's important for a quarterback, isn't it?
Oh, so important, especially at that position where you count on that person to lead your team. And if they wilt under the pressures, the outside pressures, man, that doesn't say a whole lot for your leadership. So the fact that he stood up to those pressures, he faced them head on, and then he came out and had a great game, that's what you want to see from your leader.
And isn't that truly one thing that made Brett Favre the Hall of Fame quarterback that he was? I mean, in just the 2 years we had him here, the one really good year, you just learn so much. I mean, you've been on a Super Bowl winning team, so you've seen it all. But for guys like me, after seeing that 1 year, you just know how the little things are supposed to be done.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Brett was fantastic when it comes to the little details of the position. And not only did his teammates learn a lot, but everybody that was around him learned a lot about preparation.
Yep.
And how to deal with adversity. I mean, he handled tough situations extremely well.
What are some keys to moving the ball on this Bears defense, Leslie?
Well, in our case, you know, we still want to be able to run the football. We have to find ways to run it, and we have to create balance being able to throw the ball. But the Chicago Bears, their success has come in creating turnovers, Paul. I think they have like 30
yep.
on the season leading the league. And we have to do a great job of protecting the football, because we think we have some plays that will work, but we just don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot with turnovers.
Urlacher and Briggs been around so long. I mean, you got to have respect for the longevity, and they still both seem to be pretty good. Are they getting along okay?
Yeah, I mean, they're still very good players. You still got to account for them when you talk about their defense. They both are terrific linebackers.
Why did you rotate safeties in the Lions game? Mr. L. Raymond comes back and rotates a little bit with Jamarca, even though Jamarca played more.
Mr. L. at that time wasn't right where we needed him to be physically, so we wanted to be able to rotate him in some. And Jamarca has done a very good job as a starter, and we didn't want to take that away from him, but we also wanted to get Jamarca back in the swing of things, or get Mistral back in the swing of things, and we learned a lot about the both of them in that ball game.
And everybody talks about Peanut Tillman and his forced fumbles. I know he had 4 in that game against Tennessee, and he's one of the greatest in the history of the game at doing that. Jamarca has 5 forced fumbles this year. I think that's one of the great under-the-radar stats for your team this year.
Oh, you know what? And you watch him in practice. Paul, Jamarcus always working on punching the ball out, stripping it, and then it shows up in games. So he's been a great example for his teammates.
How do you expect their offensive line to deal with Jared Allen?
Well, anytime we played Chicago, they've always blocked us different than they block other teams. We don't expect them to leave their tackles one-on-one with Jared. They never have, and anytime we played them, we expect them to try to come out and run at him and slow him down. And when they do throw the ball, keep a tight end in or keep a back end to chip. That's the way they've always played us. So we'll have to be prepared for that.
A couple of quickies here for Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Vikings, to close on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Wide receivers coach George Stewart around the corner. What kind of season is Chad Greenway having?
Oh, he's having a Pro Bowl season. You know, he did a great job a year ago with his, going to his first Pro Bowl. And he's well on his way to having another Pro Bowl season. He's been just a tremendous player on the field, but a great leader in the locker room as well. He's really matured as a player, and he's helping our football team greatly.
We're 10 games into it. You have six to go. You're at Chicago, at Green Bay, Bears here, at St. Louis, at Houston, Packers here. Are you seeing the benefits, Leslie, when you look back and do the self-scouting, of all the defensive line rotating you've done this year?
No doubt. I mean, it's really helped keep our guys fresh for this home stretch, and we think it's going to pay off for us as we go through these final 6 weeks of the regular season.
Are you planning for Jay Cutler?
We are. We expect Jay to be the starter, and that's how we're approaching it. If it turns out to be Jason Campbell, we'll be able to adjust, but we're preparing for Jay Cutler.
As a team and as a coach, do you prepare more for scheme than individual quarterback?
Well, we definitely look at schemes for sure, but the quarterback, you really have to pay attention to what his strengths and weaknesses are. You can't just forget about that part of it, because some guys can do some things better than others, and there's a reason this guy's a starter versus that guy. So we pay attention to schemes, but we also take a look at the individual. A
couple of outside-the-game things to close here. Your former coach Mike Ditka recently had a stroke. How concerned for him were you, and did you reach out to him and get a chance to chat with him?
I haven't spoke to him. He tried to call me. I tried to call him, and have a lot of appreciation for him. So happy that things have worked out, and he's fine, and made my heart drop a little bit when I heard the news, but I'm glad he's doing well.
And your assistant, the assistant head coach, linebackers coach, Mike Singletary, for the new schoolers listening right now who have heard of Mike Singletary, they've seen the eyes online and maybe read some things online but didn't get a chance to see him, what makes Mike Singletary one of the greatest linebackers in the history of the NFL?
You know, as great of an athlete as he was, Paul, he was a guy who was really a guy with great football intelligence, really studied opponents, spent a lot of time in the film room, in the classroom, understanding what offenses were trying to do, and then he was able to take it out on the grass as well. So a very competitive guy, but a great student of the game.
This is going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Great job so far. Welcome back, and thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, George Stewart, to talk about Jarius Wright, Jerome Simpson, and more. He's the wide receivers coach, and he's next on Vikings Live at Winter Park, all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network. Hi, Minnesota Vikings wide receivers coach George Stewart, as we remind you to protect the football at Buffalo Wild Wings. It's football the way it should be. Play the VIP scratch game and you could win a VIP experience, Buffalo Wild Wings discounts, and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. Hey, good evening, Mr. Stewart, and welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park.
Paul, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. You off the bye week, nice and refreshed and everything. I would imagine you probably got 7-8 consecutive days. What'd you go to Amsterdam, the Bahamas, Antigua? What'd you do?
No, Paul, we were here grinding. You know, we're getting ready for a stretch run, six ball games left to give us a chance to get in that playoff race, and that's what our coaching staff was doing.
Grinding. We're 6-4. The rookie receiver just went for three receptions, including a 54-yard bomb, longest this season. Grinding? What do you mean? Everything's great.
Well, Paul, it's about to work and have an opportunity to represent the state and also our division. And we want to make sure that the last six games that we play are strong six.
During your career as a receivers coach for the San Francisco 49ers, the Atlanta Falcons, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you've seen a lot of big games during your career, including here in 2009 when the team went to the NFC title game. But this, as we go this year in this 6-4 year with the Bears having lost two consecutive, this is a big game this weekend. How excited are you?
We're very excited. It's very rare, Paul, that this time of year, the last six games we have are all six prominent games. You know, you look at, we have Chicago twice, Green Bay twice, Houston, and also the Rams. So our schedule is considerably tough, but this ball game is very big. It's the only ball game we're looking at right now. It's the Chicago Bears.
If you watch the Bears' last home game, Sunday Night Football against the Houston Texans, clearly you could see there was a lot of give on the turf, specifically outside the numbers, where even Andre Johnson was slipping around a little bit. your stable of receivers. Have you right. talked to them about that? What do you put in their mind about the condition of the turf?
Absolutely, Paul. You know, you look at that situation against Houston. It was rainy. It was a little wet. I was in this division before when it's still the black and blue division in Tampa. And we used to go to Chicago every year, obviously, and play. And the thing about Chicago, this time of year, they have that winter rye, you know, which is winter rye grass they plant. And it's milky. So I always tell the guys, it's milky grass. It's going to be a little slick. And our equipment man has done a great job of supplying shoes this week. So hopefully those shoes will hold up this week.
Your receivers, Jerome Simpson, Michael Jenkins, Devin Aromashadu, Jarius Wright, Percy Harvin, Stephen Burton when he's active, so on and so on. How are they in the run game? How physical are they as run blockers?
Well, that's one thing that we try to pride ourselves on is here as a run game. You look at Adrian, he has ripped off some runs this past season in terms of the last four ball games, I think 60-plus yards, and it's a product of our guys up front doing a great job. Jeff Davison's done a great job with the offensive line and the receivers downfield. You look at the one he had against Seattle, Percy Harvin, I think factored in Steve Burton, factored in the one last week in terms of help springing him. So we take great pride in that because, again, I always said you get respect in this league from being tough.
I know Percy Harvin's status for this weekend still in question, is still a little sketchy. So let's look back at what he's done. And up until he hurt that ankle in the Seattle game, had to sadly miss the Detroit game. Fortunately, you guys won. He was either tied or leading the NFL in receptions the majority of the year. The keys to Percy's success this year, George?
The keys to Percy's success is, you know, you go back to coming off that shoulder surgery that he had. He has reinvented himself. He's turned over, I think Leslie Frazier said it last week, more of a leader, you know, in terms of it's his fourth year in the league. He understands this division. He understands the locker room. He understands the dynamic that he brings to our football team as being a leader. And he has taken that role. And obviously he has paid the price in terms of doing the things necessary for him to be great.
And all the guys with whom you've worked during your career, Terrell Owens, Roddy White, so on and so on. Is Percy one of the more unique personalities with whom you've ever worked?
He is very unique because he does a lot of things. You know, he runs the football at the backfield. He catches screens. He's an outside receiver. He's a slot. He returns kicks. He does a lot of things for us. I think if Percy was a linebacker, he'd be a pretty good linebacker. If he's a corner, he'd be a pretty good corner. He is blessed with special skills.
And obviously, he has that big upper body, and he can take hits. In fact, Percy likes to deliver hits, too, like a running back, which he did at Florida.
Right. Pound for pound, I always said Percy Harvin is one of the strongest men in the National Football League, and he does an outstanding job of getting those extra yards. Well, I always say that yards are hard to get in this league, Paul, and he does a great job trying to get all of them.
George, couldn't you argue that Percy Harvin is the best overall offensive player in the NFL? I mean, you can look at A.J. Green and Calvin Johnson, you know, when he's healthy for the balance of a game.
Right.
Okay, might be a better receiver over the course of X amount of games. Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster, okay, over the balance of a game, over seasons, okay, maybe better running backs. But if you put the whole package together, I could argue Percy Harvin is the most dynamic offensive player in the NFL.
You mentioned it. He is the most dynamic player in the league, and I don't have to argue for it. I've been in this league a long time. There's very few football players that I've seen have the package that Percy Harvin has as a total football player. Considering everything he does, there's not many that can compare.
Jerome Simpson had that nice four reception, like 51-yard game at Ford Field, had the big 27-yard reception on second down late, basically to seal it. Then we had that weird foot deal and the leg and the whole thing. And he looked like in the Lions game here, it looked like he was coming back to what you expected. Then you got the off week. So is Jerome squared away into this Bears game?
Well, according to Jerome, his foot is starting to rhythm up with his body again, and he's starting to feel pretty good. And hopefully for us as a team with a vertical stretch player that can stretch the football field, hopefully our fans will see that he's back to being Jerome Simpson.
And when he's at his best, what does he do? Because I remember in the preseason, you know, we're thinking, okay, Jerome, 4-3 outside the numbers. Here we go. Go up and get it like Sidney used to in 2009. But then specifically in the Buffalo game, he would catch some things in the middle of the field, make somebody miss, jump over somebody, and then you're like, okay, so he can make guys miss and get good yards after catch.
He is very dynamic in that respect. He's a nice job of a 20-yard in-cut guy in terms of throwing the ball in the middle of the football field. Has enough. He's not fearless in terms of going to catch the football. And also, you talk about the vertical speed. He does have that. But the thing I'm impressed with Jerome when we got him in terms of his athletic ability, overall athletic ability, he does a great job of tracking the football in the air.
Receivers are unique to work with overall, aren't they? I mean, if you look at the core of a football team, you got quarterbacks, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, DBs, and so on. I've just always been told in my 11 years doing this that with defensive backs and wide receivers, you're just dealing with a different bunch. I'm not going to say they're all Bernard Berrien or they're all divas, but they definitely have different opinions of things, don't they?
Right. They're a different group. And Paul, you mentioned just as a group, as a general, you look at every other group in the football team, these receivers need help. They can play a whole game. The quarterback never throw them the football. They're not a factor. A defensive lineman can make tackles. An offensive lineman can block. A running back's going to run. Quarterback's going to throw. But that's what sets them apart. Receivers have to do something. They're somewhat finicky like a cat, I guess, in some respects. But I tell you what, I'm very pleased with the group that we have because we have some tough individuals.
Do they ever say, I'm sprinting down the field every single play. You're never throwing me the ball. Can you at least throw it one time?
I'm wide open, Coach. You know,
I'm wide open every time, right?
And there are times they are, but we have different progressions our quarterback has to read. And, of course, Christian's done a great job of doing this course of the year. But you hear it a lot. But those guys, like I said, they understand team concept. And as long as they do that, we have a chance to be successful.
Is it entertaining watching film with wide receivers, especially when one's open and the quarterback misses him? Do they just sit back and cross their arms and go, uh-huh?
No, it's not entertaining. No, I tell you what, they do look at the tape, and they do understand that the quarterback has a lot on his plate in terms of going through his reads and progressions, as we said. But at the end of the day, as long as they continue to do their job, and once the quarterback comes to them, hopefully they have a chance to make a play.
George Stewart, wide receivers coach, Minnesota Vikings on Vikings Live from Winter Park. Jerry is right. Nice debut, George.
No question. It was very, very, very good to see Jerry have the day like he did. I told him before the ball game, you don't have to be Percy Harvin, just be Jerry is right. And he went out and performed with no pressure. He's a young man that came out of training camp with an ankle injury, and he has got that thing behind him. You see what we look for in the future with him. He's a dynamic young football player, and hopefully he can continue on the wave that he's on.
Can Jarius and Percy play, can they both be in uniform and on the field at the same time, or do they both play the same position?
It's not my decision. That's up to our front office in terms of head coach and general manager, but I can see opportunities for those guys to be on the field at the same time, obviously. They both are talented young men.
And when Jarius got loose behind safety Eric Coleman on that 54-yard, the 54-yarder that got down inside the five where he eventually closed it, what had to happen for Jarius to be able to close on that 54-yard reception?
That was a great play fake by a quarterback as long as by running backs, and Jarius just had a chance to get on top of the safety. Obviously, safety's got to stay in and bite. Jarius ran by him, and again, with a young player that's not playing very much, you saw it the other night with San Francisco with Kaepernick. You don't have much record on him, and Jarius, they didn't know him. They're not quite sure the coaches did coming out the draft, but with a young man like that with speed Jarius has, and by putting it on tape, now the Chicago Bears have a chance to understand who Jarius Wright is.
So without Percy Harvin, can you do some things with Jarius that you do with Percy? I mean, I remember vaguely that he did go into the backfield. He did execute an end around.
Right.
He's not going to be Percy Harvin at this stage of his career, but can you use him the same way somewhat?
Very similarly. You know, they have both have great skill sets in terms of being a dynamic football player, both in the slot. Jarius was an outside receiver at Arkansas, along with Greg Childs, but he can do some of the things that's very similar to Percy. I don't know if he's the same runner as Percy is, a runner out the backfield, but in terms of the receiver, he is as dynamic.
And he tore up the SEC. I remember up to the draft, you talking about privately those Arkansas receivers, Jarius Wright and Greg Childs, and you specifically kept mentioning Jarius, even though Greg looked to be the outside the numbers wild card guy, you know, who potentially had higher upside, but anytime you register 12 touchdowns against SEC defenses, that's pretty good.
No, he had a productive year at Arkansas, a productive season, and we're just very fortunate that we had a chance to draft him.
Michael Jenkins, steady?
Michael is a steady Eddie. We call him the professor. You know, he's a guy that sits back in the meeting room. He understands everything about the game of football. Our young players use him as an encyclopedia. Mike is a steady performer. He has done a great job leading our football team.
And Stephen Burton, to stay in uniform, recognizes, I need to be good on special teams. I need to block when they hand the ball off to 28.
Right.
And if I don't do that, then I'm probably not doing my job.
We call Stevie John Smoltz. He's our closer. He comes in. He does all the dirty work for us. And Stevie has talent as well. He's an outstanding route runner. He has the ability to come in and be very physical at the point. And he is still learning as a player. He's still growing. And at some point, he's going to be an excellent player for us.
I saved Devin Aroma-Shadoo for last. Mm-hmm. And I'll close on this because I've gotten with Bill Musgrave, Leslie Frazier, Christian Ponder, all on the radio, nothing private.
Right.
I think he's underutilized. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I know he's a quiet guy. But all I know is in that Jacksonville game, when you needed 26 late, you got it. When you needed a PI on Josh Wilson back left of the end zone at Washington, you got it. Mm-hmm. He had a huge reception in the Detroit game. I think he's underutilized. Am I wrong?
Devin makes plays for us, and Devin will continue to make plays for us. You have a rotation of five players, and it's very hard, P.S., you know, to play five players at one time. And Devin has paid his dues in this league. He's a seven-year veteran. He has made plays for us, and Devin will continue to do that. Whether or not he's underutilized, again, you have to go through progressions, but Devin has done an excellent job when he's been called upon to make plays down the football field.
Bears defense, 33, Peanut Tillman. What makes him good?
He is such a great player from a standpoint of stripping the football. He does an excellent job of anticipating. He's a great route reader in terms of pattern read. But the thing that sets him apart from any other defensive back in the National Football League, he does an outstanding job of ball strip. And he's by far the best ball stripper I've ever seen.
George, in closing part two, your take on the biggest key for your receivers to assist the Vikings to a victory this weekend against the Bears.
Our deal this weekend against the Bears for us to secure a victory is, number one, to be physical. And they have a great run defense, as we know. We have a great run offense with Adrian and also Toby. We have to catch the football. We have to be physical after the catch. And the most important thing, Paul, we have to possess the football. We just talked about Peanut Tillman. They have thrived on turnovers this year. I think they have 17 or 18 interceptions.
Yeah, maybe like 30 takes.
And yes, and maybe 10 or 12 fumbles. Mm. And they've scored on defense. And we have to do a great job at ball security.
I love chatting with you. Thank you. And have a great Thanksgiving, all right?
Thank you, Paul. Same to you.
George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm Paul Allen, and this is Vikings Live from Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. Antoine Winfield, cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings, is our guest on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen joined now by the 14-year cornerback from Ohio State. How are you, my friend?
Good to
see you.
Good to see you.
How you feel? Good?
I feel great.
Big one this weekend.
Every game's big, but especially in your division.
Mm-hmm.
We're facing the
You don't have
team.
To slow play it. I'm not sitting here with Ace King off suit, and you have pocket aces, and you're trying to slow play me into all my chips in the middle of the table. This is a big one.
It's very big. But you love poker, boy. You always bring everything back to
you
poker.
You bring it out in me for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the basement from the days past or whatever it is. But in football, you can look at football like that because there's a lot of bluffing. You know, there's a lot of slow playing. There's a lot of jamming with Adrian Peterson where you just jam your cards right on him. But there'll be some bluffing this weekend, but still, it's right out there in front of you. Six to go. And the way we look at it as fans, Antoine, beat the Bears, root for the Giants in the evening, take first place, be the team to catch.
Yes, we definitely need to go out and take care of business. Like I said, playing on the road against a really good football team, we need to go out there and execute. I think this game will come down to turnovers, whoever creates the most turnovers, and execute their offensive and defensive game plan. So should be a good one.
Two of your guys' best moments this year, Antoine, have been against the Detroit Lions and against the 49ers in week three. And ironically, you won the turnover battle in both of those games. Mm-hmm. So the score obviously is the most important indicator as to the wins and losses. Mm-hmm. Right behind us, turnover differential, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's the key. Like I said, Chicago is doing a great job. I think they're leading the league with 30 turnovers, seven touchdowns defensively. So we need to match that intensity.
So is that a situation, defensively speaking, where you hear so much about it, you want them to come expecting Chicago to get the turnovers, Peanut to strip the ball, Jennings to jump routes, but they leave talking about your defense?
We would love that. I'm sure San Fran wanted the same thing, and they did that last Monday night. But we need to just go out there and take care of business.
They're going to try to run on you, aren't they?
Possibly. You know, they had some trouble last week protecting their quarterback. I don't think Mike Tice will sit back there and let Jay Cutler get killed. So they're definitely going to try to come run the ball on us.
And they would run it with Matt Forte and Michael Bush. And you know what? The defense did really well against the run in the Detroit game. But then again, you jumped up and they kind of became left-handed with just the passing game. Mm-hmm. Before that, as you would tell me and others, the run defense definitely needed to improve, likewise for the tackling. Mm-hmm. So they're probably going to test that just to make sure everything indeed is squared away. And like you said, they can protect their offensive line that way too.
Right. That's the key. If we go out and score touchdowns, get a nice little lead, it'll take them out of the run. They'll have to throw the ball, but the key is scoring touchdown.
Are you ever going to blitz from the slot again and blindside a quarterback like you did Michael Vick?
I would love to. You need to go talk to the defense coordinator for me.
Are you ever going to scoop up a blocked field goal, score a touchdown, slide down the stanchion, and get fined $10,000 again?
Well, you know what? Every night before a game, though, I have those dreams. But hopefully it comes true this Sunday.
Are you, at this stage of your career, are you as fast as you were, say, 5 or 6 years ago?
Not at all. I know that. I know my strengths. I know my weaknesses. That's why I play different techniques than most of the other cornerbacks. But the coaches give me leeway. They know they have trust in me, and they know I'm going to go out there and do my job.
What are your strengths?
Oh, tackling. I think I'm the best tackler in the league. I've always thought that.
And what are some – is leverage a big key for you, given your size?
Yes, I'm small.
Outside of determination and desire, obviously, with that stuff.
Absolutely. It's an attitude. You know, I know I'm a great tackler, so I go out there and do the best that I can. But definitely being a smaller guy, I can get up under running backs and tight ends and just wrap up.
How has being small ever hurt you in the NFL?
Going against big, tall receivers at jump ball situations. That's always been tough for me.
Do you have 25-inch vertical, or is it up there around 35 or 40 or what?
Well, my combine workout was 34, but
really?
That was 14 years ago, so I have no idea what it is now.
So, therefore, some interceptions that go right over your fingertips. It's he's trying, he almost had it, but just can't quite bring it in.
There's been a few.
And speaking of big receivers, you get Brandon Marshall this week, and Antoine Winfield's our guest. You know, obviously not to divulge the game plan or anything, but Brandon being big and with good hands and everything, anything you can tell us about defending him and what some teams have done well?
Yeah, you have to have number 15 awareness. Guy's a big receiver, has great hands. Like I said, he's their number one wide receiver, Jay Cutler's guy. They play together in Denver. So we'll definitely have awareness of where he is on the field.
You being the student of the game that you are, and you have arguably the best student of the game reputation in the National Football League of any defender that I've ever heard. I'll never forget Ray Rhodes years ago telling Pete Bursich and I that you see the game from a tackle running back quarterback situation as good as anybody he's ever seen. That's Ray Rhodes. Mm-hmm. So you have this aura that you're always sitting in a dark room with a candle lit, mixing potions, watching film. Is it like that, or are you just naturally good at knowing what you want to find, finding it quickly, and then moving on?
I think I'm natural, but I do put in a lot of work. You know, we work over here during the daytime, but at night I watch about an hour of film, try to get a couple keys. But when I'm on the field, I just try to play fast, make as many plays as possible.
So there are times that you're watching film at your place and you're spending that hour and you see a thing and then you go back and watch it again and watch it again and you get really excited knowing that that may take place this weekend, right?
Absolutely. And like I said, the coaches trust me. You know, I'm not going to go out there and try to give up big plays or whatever. They trust me to go out there and make the plays that I do make.
What about some of these younger cornerbacks and these younger defensive backs with whom you work? How much time are you able to put into a Josh Robinson and A.J. Jefferson? Even from a safety standpoint, you know, Jamarcus Sanford's having a good year. I know you guys know each other well. Harrison Smith is a rookie. How much time do you put in with them?
Yeah, I love our group. We have a really good group, great relationships with every player. But a lot of time. We're pretty much over here from 8 to 5, so we spend a lot of time together on and off the field. But I tell them, study a lot of film, take good notes. We have some great coaches that'll work with you. And guys, they're receptive to the teaching.
Can you tell when they're not watching film or taking notes? And if so, do you pull them to the side privately and say, if you want to stay in the league 14 years, you better start doing this?
I have done that before, but you can definitely tell. Like I said, Joe Woods does a great job of giving us keys to watch and do things. And if you're doing it, you should make those plays.
Okay, this will be the fifth time I ask you and final time I ask you.
Uh-oh.
Share with us what you said to the team after the Indianapolis game. You're never going to tell anybody, are you?
All I did was
talk
about
football. We can bleep it out, man.
All I did was talk about football.
You just talked about football and said, here's what it looks like, right?
That's pretty much what it was.
And then we came out and beat the 49ers the next week. It was like the greatest speech since Nelson Mandela.
I don't know about all that, but guys pretty much took it to heart. They knew we had a tough challenge on our hands, as we do the next couple weeks, so we'll be ready.
This is going to be great. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for the chat.
Thank you very much.
Antoine Winfield, cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings, on Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Vikings Radio Network.
Vikings Talk, FM 100.3, KFAN.
The Fan.
All right, now let's wrap up Vikings Live at Winter Park. Paul Allen joined weekly by Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com to provide us with the opposition update, the adversarial update, the Chicago Bears, the lesson at hand this weekend. And by the way, make sure to join Mike Wabshaw, yours truly, and Paul Charchin from LeagueSafePost.com Friday from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Eagan. It's the Friday Football Feast. Buffalo Wild Wings in Eagan from 9 until noon for the Friday Football Feast. Get the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page at KFAN.com. Hello, Wabi.
Hey, Paul. What's going on?
Vikings, Bears, your thoughts?
We're in a playoff chase, man. Isn't this fun?
Mm-hmm.
We got six games to go. You're at 6-4. You're one game back in the NFC North. You're playing the division leaders. If you win on Sunday, you're playing for the division lead the following Sunday at Lambeau Field. I mean, this is exactly where you want to be heading into a season. And you and I know, dealing with the public as much as we do, that the external expectations were not this. And the Vikings have already surpassed them, and that's exciting. But you can't.
Some people
be,
said the best they could do is 6-10.
Exactly. And you can. And as a team, you can't be pleased with that. You have to keep moving forward and have higher expectations for yourselves. That's what this team has done every step of the way, and it's been fun to watch. Now you come out of a bye week. You have a tough game at Soldier Field. I can't wait to watch it. You and I were talking. This isn't a game where you and I usually have a depth chart. We print it off, and we fill it up with a bunch of numbers and figures and stats.
Minutia.
Yep, that's not that. That's not what you do when you play the Bears. It's a familiar opponent on both sides for you and I, for players, for coaches, and it's time to go into Soldier Field and win a game, something we haven't done there since 2007.
Everybody around here is planning for Jay Cutler. Is Vikings.com planning for Jay Cutler?
I am. Yeah, I think you have to prepare for him, and it probably does matter which quarterback plays, because I think there are nuances to the offense. The offense would operate differently depending on who the quarterback is, but it's not like they're going to go through wholesale changes if it's one quarterback or another. So I think you prepare for Jay Cutler. If it's somebody else, you adjust. You have some preparations that you make in the week just in case that's the case, that he doesn't play, but I'm planning on him playing, and that's fine. The offensive line is going to be the same. The receivers that he's going to throw to are going to be the same. The running backs are the same. So I think it might make subtle differences here and there, but I expect Jay to play. Jay is a tough player. You know, he missed last week, but Jay has a reputation for being a tough player. He's not going to back down from this challenge. And the bottom line is, no matter who is taking snaps for the Bears, our defensive line has to continue to take advantage of the Bears' weakness on the offensive line. Now, Chicago is sitting there right now trying to fix those issues, and they're professionals. Their job is to get the job done and fix those issues, so they might do that. The Vikings have to make sure that they don't allow Chicago to do that, that they continue to gobble up quarterbacks like other teams have been doing.
When Cutler could not return to that NFC title game at Soldier Field against the Green Bay Packers, do you remember the consternation and the criticism he took from former players, current players, media members, negatives, fans, all throughout the league, guessing what was going on through his mind because it was the NFC title game? Because you're sitting here saying Jay Cutler is considered a tough player, and I agree with you during the body of his career, but I just think for a second back to that NFC title game and how infuriated after the game, where guys like Simeon Rice were tweeting and coming out, just basically calling him a quitting pig. And I was so infuriated when members of the fraternity were treating it like that. It not only disrespected Jay, but it was flat wrong.
Yeah, I mean, and you'd think, as you said, members of the fraternity would know better, that they might not know everything there is to know about the injury and what it was and what was being done behind the scenes. And I think Jay's a tough player. I mean, the Bears have allowed more sacks than every NFL team except one this year, and I'm sure it was a similar statistic last year. You know, Jay's taken a beating, but he stands in there and he produces. I mean, they were 7-3 last year before he got hurt. I mean, the Bears were on their way to a really good season, and they're in the middle of a really good season right now with Jay Cutler leading them. So, I mean, he's a guy who stands in there and makes big throws on third downs in the face of pressure. And you know what? There are things that he's done that you can criticize him for, and the same can be said for you and I and every player in the NFL. But when it comes down to the rubber meeting the road, I think Jay Cutler stands in there and throws. So he's a dangerous guy, and the Vikings are going to have to be ready for him.
If you were to line up every defense around the NFL, and this includes the Houston Texans without Brian Cushing, I would still take the Texans first, despite what you saw against Jacksonville. Just one game, one defense, one scheme. From defensive line to linebackers to secondary, I still probably would take the Texans first. Niners certainly in the mix. The Bears might be second. I mean, this defensive line, they got veterans all over the place. They're jumping routes on the outside.
Yep.
But they're solid defensive line-wise, linebackers-wise. Their safeties are coming back to the pack a little bit. Major Wright, Chris Conte were playing very well early in the season. I think they're coming back to the pack a little bit. And corners-wise, Jennings and Peanut Tillman. Then you got Kelvin Hayden and DJ Moore, who's been hurt. The kid from Bandy has been fantastic all of his career.
Yeah, I think the Bears defensively are really good where it counts. They're deep on their defensive line. They're going to run at you with seven defensive linemen the whole game. They stay fresh. And they're good on the edges. Julius Peppers on the edge, Adonijé on the edge. Mm-hmm. Their corners, you mentioned them, they're really good. So I like their depth, and I like them on the edge. And that's where you want to be good as a defense. Now, I'm not going to say that this is a defense that's weak in the middle of the field because Brian Urlacher is commanding the middle of that defense. He certainly is not a weak link in any defense. But I also think that the Vikings are best when they attack the middle of the field, no matter who they're playing against. So I'm really looking forward to watching this Chicago Bears defense, which has been so impressive all season, go against our offense, because I believe in our offense and their ability to be physical, especially going against the middle of a defense, running the ball up the middle between the tackles, which we've been good at this year, and then using Kyle Rudolph and Percy Harvin underneath and in the middle of the field. I think it's a great matchup. Yeah, the Chicago Bears defense has been great this season, but I think the Vikings offense can be physical and matches up well with this Bears defense in the middle.
Who do you think has the best defense in the NFL? Top of the head.
Well, I like our defense on a great day. And when we played against the San Francisco 49ers, our defense was great. I think our defense can play with anybody. I think the Niners have a great defense, because I think when you look at San Francisco, at every level of their defense, defensive line, linebacker, and then secondary, I think they have an elite player at all three levels, and I don't think every team has that. So I think San Francisco, Houston, Chicago, those are the three, but it's hard to just pick one. I tell you, I mean, I think Chicago can play with anyone. We might be seeing the NFL's best defense on Sunday.
And don't forget, Chris Cluey could be a wild card in this game. I mean, it's outdoors. Cluey's going to be punting to the cane, Devin Hester. You know, Chris Cluey needs to have a good game here, because it's a field position kind of game, specifically early in the game, unless they get Devin Hester behind somebody like they did early in the Sunday night game last year, where he got behind Griffin and Hussein Abdullah. That just completely tilts things, gets the crowd into it.
Yeah,
I don't think that's the case, Mike. I think this is a ball control, field position type game. And as strange as it may sound, because of all the stars in the game, Chris Cluey needs to have a good game.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I think that special teams is going to be a big factor in this game. If Percy Harvin plays, how about the matchup between return men, right? You know, with Hester and Percy.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's
And Robbie Gould and Blair Walsh. Absolutely. Robbie Gould is one of the NFL's best kickers. I mean, just think, if Robbie Gould kicked in a controlled environment every week, his numbers would be even better, and they're already good. So, special teams going to be important. And I don't disagree with you that this is a ball control, possess the ball, field position type of game. I do think that's important, but I don't want the Vikings offense. I don't think they will, but I don't want the Vikings offense to play scared. I think the Vikings offense needs to be aggressive and, you know, lean on Adrian Peterson. He's the bread and butter, obviously. He's the leading rusher in the NFL. He's having the best season of his career through 10 games. So I don't want to go away from Adrian, but I think we saw Christian Ponder and this passing game take a step forward against Detroit. 24 completions, a 75% completion rate for Christian Ponder against Detroit, okay? 24 completions to 10 different receivers, two touchdowns, no picks.
That's great.
That's not playing scared.
Right.
And I think Christian needs to keep playing like that. I think Bill Musgrave needs to keep calling the game like that. I think those two are working really well together, and I'm looking forward, whether we have Percy in there or not, I'm looking forward to seeing how Christian and Bill are going to attack this Bears defense, because I think they stumbled onto something against Detroit, spreading the ball around and not being afraid to just throw the ball around the yard.
It should be a big advantage for your Vikings coming off a bye compared to a Chicago team that just got obliterated on Monday Night Football and had to travel back.
Yeah, I mean, so the Bears have a short week to begin with, because it's a Monday night game. Plus, you throw Thanksgiving in there, which kind of is a different element to preparing for an opponent.
The Vikings coming off,
Vikings coming off a bye. So those are advantages for us. Of course, it's at Soldier Field. We've only won there twice since 2000. Advantage Chicago. So, you know, the bottom line is, on Sunday, you got to show up and play. Now, the last time the Vikings won at Soldier Field was what year?
2007.
And we were coming off of?
An off week, a bye.
A bye. So
yes.
I like that. That's good for us. So, you know, advantages on each side here. I think it's going to be a great matchup. It's going to be a physical game. It's going to be a fun one to watch. And I'm really looking forward to being in first place in the NFC North.
15 seconds, Vikings.com. Video, written stuff. Give us an update.
Well, there's a dork who does a pick six video mailbag segment dressed as a turkey.
Wow.
So go check that out.
Gobble, gobble,
yes,
baby.
Please go check that out. We have segments from our new show, Beyond the Gridiron. We post those on the website. That's really cool. There's one that features you. Fans can go check that out. We do press conferences and all that. So lots of stuff going on at Vikings.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. If you're sitting around tomorrow, go to Vikings.com or KFAN.com to keep up on your favorite team, the Minnesota Vikings. We thank the producers of Vikings Live at Winter Park, Jay and Joe Nelson, along with Tim Cobb. Brian Harper is the executive producer of the Vikings Entertainment Network, Chad Abbott of the Vikings Radio Network, and for all of us here at Winter Park, I'm Paul Allen. Have a blessed Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.